from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
Take off your shirt and throw me. Take off your shorts and dunk me. But also, I think I'm awesome.
You, the learned people, America, yeah. The uneducated beer, yeah. The trust balls, yeah. Flags.
She got a great ass.
You're making me uncomfortable.
I would have slept with George Bush at that moment. I would have power bottomed the hell out of him. Get it.
Please have you long.
I had something extremely disturbing happen during the break.
Don't you need to bring that up?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do.
Why?
So Rob goes.
What are you gonna do? Pee on me? I don't know.
Rob goes to the bathroom because he pees like every 8 seconds.
I do. I am incontinent. Well, I had to squirt.
So he's to pee, and I just, during the show, I just have Twitter up, right? So I'm scrolling Twitter, and I follow Dr. Pimple Popper. You follow Dr. Pimple Popper?
Not for me.
Love Dr. Sandra Lee.
Can't do it.
She's fantastic.
So all she does is pop pimples?
Yeah, she has a show on, the Discovery or Learning Channel, whatever
it's
that is.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's called Dr. Pimple Popper ND.
That's stupid. Then
right after that is a show called My Feet Are Killing Me, which might be even better. Because it's 2 hot doctors, out of Atlanta, 1 male, 1 female, and they just deal with, the worst feet in the world, and I can't get enough of it. So I'm scrolling, and the video is them. She's popping, a cyst. She's popping a cyst and then taking tweezers and pulling it out. And Rob walks by and goes, "What the hell are you watching?" And I assumed he was disgusted because I was watching a pimple popping video. He thought that the tweezers and the lady's pimple was a vagina.
Yeah.
Rob thought I was watching some sort of weird medical porn.
Well, it didn't even look like medical porn. It looked like, it looked to me, because I just glanced. When I walk by him, I can see his computer screen.
Yeah.
And so I just glanced, and I saw, and I went, what? I did the double take, what the hell, dude?
Then the bonus reward.
By the way, him watching porn would not be a shock at all. I don't know why I was shocked, but I saw... Just the view that I saw looked it certainly looked like a vagine.
Rob thought that the tweezers were the vagine, and that the cyst, the big pimple, was something at the top of it.
Well, I thought,
boy, that's some great vision.
Well, you saw it. I showed it to you. You told me you couldn't tell. You
Rob
couldn't
just
see
sees
that
vaginas in the abstract.
Boy, I don't know what
you didn't think that looked like a machine.
I don't think that the big cyst up top looked like what you thought it did.
Well, no, it didn't. But it
If so, someone.
But it could have been.
Someone needs to get to the gyno stat.
Well, that's why I thought. I'm like, what is he looking at? Is he like STD porn?
Is there such a thing?
You're gross.
Don't Google. I'll bet you there is.
You need one of those. What do they have? You know, on people on airplanes, they have. What do they call those black screen things that you can put over
privacy
your
privacy screen?
Oh, it's like a privacy screen.
Conveniently called the privacy screen. Yeah, you need one of those. Because this is disgusting.
Either that or you need to not see a pimple and think that it's some sort of weird vagina.
What do you mean weird vagina? It actually looked like a very nice vagina. It wasn't weird. Yeah, it's where the hard dudes are.
I have so many questions that you thought that was a nice vagina.
Yeah, it looked nice and, you know. Do I need to describe it? God. He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hugs.
Oh, that was an all-timer. I was like, what? Oh, you want to watch this pimple? Oh, you thought it was something else. And we had to watch the whole video. I'm like, watch this thing. I'm like, where did you think that this was a vagina? And then at the end, the tweezers come out. And I was like,
I showed you. And you were like, oh, yeah.
It's like right at the very end. I was like, I guess, yeah, maybe the
tweezers. That's right. That's the moment that I saw it.
Yeah. Dr. Pimple Popper and MD, Dr. Sandra Lee.
I think that's gross that you watch that.
Oh, I love that stuff.
I'd rather you be watching porn.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm probably more comfortable with porn than Dr. Pimple Popper.
Really?
Yeah, that stuff really gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Mm. Yeah, no one in my family will watch it. Like,
and what is that coming out of there? Like the pus? Like, I know, but what is pus? Like just
pus is usually a collection of white blood cells.
Look at Buckley. He's all about the pus.
Dr. Buckley.
Yeah, and there's different like some of the stuff that's on that show is unbelievable. That people wait. Like, someone will be like, yeah, I've had this thing for, like, 11 years. And then, like, they take off their shirt, and it's just, they've got, like, a basketball growing on their shoulder. And they're like, Or they'll have something growing on.
Didn't think much of it.
Well, I hate to be I don't want to be stereotype anyone, but there is a lot of, what's a good word? Like, country.
Fat, uneducated beer.
What? Rubes, right? Rube? Just.
Yeah, all right.
Rural people,
I know what you mean,
that don't really go to the doctor. There's a lot of this. If you watch Dr. Pimple Popper, you'll hear this. I guarantee it on one episode. Well, I haven't been to a doctor in 30, 40 years. You know, I don't really trust science, but you know, Dr. Lee is a pretty gal, and you know, and they always name it too. They're like old Bumpy here. He's been with me for a while.
If you are naming your
some of the stuff on there is like, it's unbelievable. But when she's getting, I can't look away. I can't.
I'll never understand that. The old school, I don't go to the doctor, bullshit.
Yeah,
that is so stupid. I'll never understand it.
Well, I think it just comes from, again, it's a cultural thing. You're raised in the country, and there's just, you know,
you're raised in a country.
You're raised in the country. Like you're
out you're talking about, yeah, but that's not just a country thing. I mean, there's a lot of people from the generation before us that just refuse to go to the doctor. They don't go to the doctor.
Yeah, but I do think in rural communities where there's just not a lot of access to health care and there's a mistrust of that, and I do think that the most of, like, you don't see wealthy people from Lake Oswego ignoring a grapefruit sized growth on their back.
No, I got you. I'm just saying, like, that the attitude of I haven't been to the doctor in 20 years.
Yeah.
That is not just a rural lack of access
to
healthcare thing. That isn't. And I don't understand that. I mean, you can eat, you know, somebody who, like in Louisiana,
yeah,
I get it. Well, that's easier to explain than the guy who has means and is like, nah, I refuse. I don't go there.
Because I do understand the people too that just say, hey, man, I have a very limited, financial budget here, and going to the doctor ain't on that list, which is also, like, when you think about it, that is a little weird too, because I've talked to people about this, even like friends and stuff. Like, you would think if you were going to spend money on one thing, right, like, you know, whether it's, you know, you got your bills, then you got your necessities, and then you got food and entertainment, and you go buy beer, and you know, you go on vacation, all that stuff. But when it comes to taking care of you, not dying, not being in pain, like the idea of spending money on that, people have a hard time wrapping their brain around that. And that always fascinates me. It is one of the things I think that is for a lot of people. I say most, but I'd say for a lot of people, that may be the hardest check to write, is the check that goes to your well-being. And I don't know where that comes from. I'm not certain like why that's a thing, but it is. It's like maybe because you can't see the benefits of it. It's like you don't think you're getting something directly for it. Like if I'm going to spend, you know, if I'm going to spend, my daughter's has to have her wisdom teeth pulled. Have you seen that lovely bill? That's
oral surgery ain't cheap.
Yeah.
What's that going to cost you?
Well, I do.
Do you have?
Well, we do the insurance doesn't cover it. Which again is fascinating because
they won't cover it at all.
No, it's
an viewed, Odyssey station.
It's viewed as an optional procedure.
Yeah,
it's optional to have your mouth hurt for the rest of your life.
It's cosmetic dentistry. So
yeah, that's kind of bullshit.
Yeah, categorizing it as cosmetics.
Yeah, that's stupid.
You know, it's like they don't cover braces.
But of course
either.
They have it that way.
Yeah, it's the same.
They don't cover braces.
No,
well, that makes a little bit more sense. You can go through life with crooked teeth, but I guess like, so.
Yeah, you want really janky teeth, you know? But yeah, it's. You know, most insurances cover like maybe $500 towards braces. I mean, it's just, it doesn't cover much at all. So I want to say it's like $2,300.
Oh,
you know,
that's less than I thought. I thought it would be more than that.
$2,300, I think, for two teeth.
I was going to guess $8,000.
No, $2,300. Although, you know, I do know my dentist, so maybe I'm getting a nice, maybe I'm getting a friends and family sort of thing because I've known him for, you know, 40 years. But for a lot of people, again, if I'm writing a check for $2,300, it's not going to be to have two teeth pulled out. But as Buck said, you'll spend $2,300 on a trip to Disneyland, which will last you, you know, whatever, you know, 5-6 days. But you won't spend $2,300 to get your teeth ripped out, but you will have blinding pain, infections, constant problems, jack up your teeth, smile, all that stuff. People would rather spend it on Disneyland than they would actually taking care of themselves.
Well, and a lot of people, there are studies out there about people who are more willing to take their pets to the vet than themselves to the doctor. And it's like outnumbered in a pretty big way. Like, I guess there's a whole group of people who are more likely, they take their pets to the vet more often than they themselves get seen by a doctor.
And as someone else points out too, now it's not even finding, wanting to go to the doctor, it's finding a doctor that will see him. Dude, some doctors are backed up, and dentists, they're 100%. Backed up months.
You can't find anybody now.
Yeah, it's a...
The system is a whole nother thing. Yes. I'm just talking about the... And the system sucks, and I totally get that as being a reason why people don't want to deal with it and the bills.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about that mentality of... And it's kind of an old school mentality of, yeah. I don't need no doctor.
Yep.
It's just... Yeah. I'll never understand it.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Like I said, I'm very blessed because I have a friend, and so I get to go to the doctor, and, you know, I don't know what that's like to not have access to medical care, but, you know, for a lot of people, that is the reality, or there's a very, I know the dentists and stuff too, it's a lot of mistrust. They just don't trust doctors, they don't trust dentists. It goes back to that one guy, he wrote a book, and it's called, like, The Dangerous Rise of Anti-Science. And he's talking about, obviously, what we've gone through in the last couple of years. But he goes beyond that, and he goes, there's been a growing trend over the last 20-plus years of, like, a culture war between medicine and science and the general public, that as we have access to more information, we become less trusting of the people that claim to be the gatekeepers of the information.
Thanks a lot, Fauci.
Well, it's a really fascinating thing because it's like this... Healthcare and public safety was totally politicized during COVID. And so now the remnants of that is still very much alive and well, but people aren't always smart enough to disseminate when something is a political battle and when something is just real science about you and your body.
Right.
But it's that element of someone's, we always think now that someone, what does he put? To be honest with you, I didn't find the book that interesting. So I didn't make it all the way through.
Is it by Dr. Pillpopper?
It's by, he was one of the guys that one of the guys that was a big he was one of the big people during COVID that was very much on the side of vaccines and science, and he became I'll find out what his name is here. I think his last name is Holtz.
I loved COVID.
Just saying. But he became a big target of the far right, right? Like you're and he points out in the book that that there's this whole now, no one trusts medicine or science because they think it's controlled by a larger group. That the idea that there's doctors out there now actually trying in large organizations, right? So if you belong to a national institute of something, if you belong to a big college, that you are on the take. You can't possibly have someone's best interest in you because the system is rigged against you. So anything that comes out of mainstream, it's like the same thing with the media, right? If it comes out of a large news organization, well, it's fake. It can't be real because they're against me. So the only people that you can trust are the people that are little kind of boutique. You know, you trust the person.
Boutique that, news, the comment you see on Facebook.
Yes.
Like
Joe Rogan, baby. Yeah, that's so, my doctor.
So people would rather trust someone that is a non-doctor but does their own research and maybe has a clinic and they're like, it's kind of like that pseudoscience thing versus someone that went to Harvard and now works for a big pharmaceutical company because they can't possibly be right. It's a weird thing, but it's kind of a clunky read, but it's interesting some of the points he makes about just kind of the mistrust, and there is a ton of mistrust, and it's growing by the day.
Critical thinking is a lost art, it seems.
I think it's
people are being told not to think critically, and that's
scary. Exactly right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't take. I don't know. Anyway, we gotta go. I'm disgusted. So we have Matthew Perry. See, now we've got a lot to squeeze in here.
Suddenly we're behind the eight ball again.
Matthew Perry news, but I want to tell you next who will play John Madden in the biopic. Is it biopic or biopic? Haven't we already done
this?
We've definitely done
this. We've done this segment so many times, and I still
want to call it a biopic.
Not 100% sure which one it is.
Well, that makes more sense because you call it a biography.
I know.
So that would then be parallels at least, but I think it's biopic and biography, which are different.
Hmm. Yeah, see, by the way, is Professor Peter Hoetz, MD, PhD. And his book, if you want to read it, is called The Deadly Rise of Anti-Science, and it's a good book. It's just very, very smart guy talk. And so at times it can be...
Yeah, who can handle that?
A little dense.
it can be a lot.
All right. We'll be right back on The Fan. Okay. This from The Hollywood Reporter. After months, if not years, of development, David O. Russell's Madden is nearing the end zone.
Mm. I just didn't know we needed a movie about John Madden.
Well, do we need a lot of movies? No. But sometimes they're great.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of the last time I saw a movie about someone that I was like, what? And then it turned out to be really good. Like, most of them are music. Like, they do this with musicians. What? And I will say this, the musician ones, I think more often than not turn out to be great. And you always win an Oscar for them, even though they're never accurate. The Johnny Cash one, Phoenix, fantastic. The Ray Charles one of the best performances you'll ever see. Jamie Foxx won an Oscar. Rami Malek did Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody, won an Oscar for it, phenomenal. There's some really, really good musical ones.
So Amazon MGM Studios has a dramatic look at the sports and video game legend John Madden.
Are we going to have a big scene where he puts his name behind a video game?
And they have cast this man to play him. Do you have any other guesses before I reveal?
I was just trying to think of other large...
John Goodman, no.
See, you got to admit, the John Goodman one...
That'd be good.
...would have been great.
Yeah. Seems it, but I don't know. Again, I'm not saying casting directors are always spot on, but I love how people just sit in their on their couches and think that they can cast a movie and be good at it.
Well,
like, dude...
I'm just thinking of...
There's a lot more that goes into it than those people know.
What about, like, Jonathan Lithgow? Because he's, like, 6'4", 6'5". Because Madden was never small. Even when he was a coach, I'm not saying he was, like, a huge fat guy, but he was a large man.
Somebody in the Vancouver 4 text line said Ed O'Neill. I think that would be pretty solid.
Oh, that would be really good.
That's good.
Yeah. And Ed played college football, like, Youngstown State or
Big
whatever.
Big Ed.
Yeah.
It is not Ed O'Neill.
Oh, that's a good
no.
one. The answer as to who will play... The great John Madden is
Kate Blanchett.
Are you ready?
Kate Blanchett. Yes, you got it.
Oh, Vince Vaughn. Not Vince Vaughn.
Nope.
You big guy.
Nice last second guess. Nicolas Cage. Not even kidding.
Can I just Google Nick Cage Madden?
Not even kidding.
What?
Nicolas Cage will portray John Madden, the storied football coach and sports commentator, in a drama to be directed by Russell, the filmmaker behind Silver Linings Playbook and American Hustle.
Nick?
This says, this is not a biopic of the man in the typical way, nor a sports drama, a genre Russell took on with boxing movie The Fighter. Rather, Madden is in part, according to sources, a video game movie. It's the origin story of Madden NFL, one of the biggest video game franchises of all time.
Huh. Boy, I mean, that's a big-time actor. You going to make a movie about a video game? That's interesting. By the way, when I Googled Madden movie, the other one that popped up that people were saying, I guess, was rumored, and I didn't know any of this, I guess they said Will Ferrell was supposed to play him.
Hugh Jackman as well, they said.
Will Ferrell would have been a very, very good John Madden. I could 100% see that.
That's compelling.
Or maybe John C. Reilly, if you want to go with another one. I thought John C. Reilly was great as Dr. Buss in the Showtime, the Lakers series. Nick Cage.
Nick Cage.
Boy,
your guy.
I love me some Nick Cage, but my brain is having a hard time
computing
that.
Here's what Russell said about it. He said, Nicolas Cage, one of our greatest and most original actors, will portray the best of the American spirit of originality, fun, and determination in which anything is possible as beloved national legend John Madden. Together with the ferocious style, focus, and inspired individualism of Al Davis, owner of the underdog Oakland Raiders, the feature will be about the joy, humanity, and genius that was John Madden in a wildly inventive, cool world of the 70s. So it is young John Madden.
Young John Madden.
And I could see Cage doing that well. He just doesn't look a lot like him, but he's a good actor. He knows what he's doing.
And they'll do it. They'll put on a wig and, exactly. they'll put a few pounds on him. And more importantly, I want to know who's playing Al Davis.
Probably Jerry Jones, right?
Well, no, because this would be, if this is in the 70s, this would be like relatively young Al Davis. I mean, he still looked horrible, but we'd get
an Adrian Brody, who was also in the Lakers thing.
Yeah, this isn't going to be like, I was originally, because I would say there's only one man to do it now, and that's Clint Eastwood, who looks like absolute death.
Yeah, he'd be the good late stage.
He'd be a great late stage, but you got to get because in the 70s, he would have been probably in his 50s.
But Barry Pepper looks like Al Davis.
Okay, I could see that. I could see old Saving Private Ryan Pepper. Because that's what I want to see. No offense to Nick Cage.
You know how old Clint Eastwood is now?
He's got to be like 90, right?
94.
Yeah. And I think he's still working.
He's like directing a movie right now, isn't he?
And it looks, he's 94, for God's sakes. But he looks every bit 94. Like, if you saw Clint Eastwood, you would be like, you're not dead yet? And yet, how about kudos to Clint Eastwood for hiking up his britches and his Depends to his nipples and then going out and still working. That's awesome. Well, have you ever met a 94-year-old? It can be rough. I went over to my buddy's house for his grandma's, I want to say it was her 91st or 92nd birthday. And it was like the UPS guy. I just felt bad for her. She was in a wheelchair. I don't think she knew what was really going around. It was bad. They were putting like hats on her, and like kids were running. It was bad. I just sat there and was like, this feels wrong. I've never been to a more awkward birthday party. I was like,
Up next, Matthew Perry has risen from the dead. It's a stunner.
Yeah.
Here's Buck.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Okay, I was lying. Matthew Perry is not alive. He died.
You son of a gun.
Still dead.
Maybe he was Jesus.
October of 2023.
No, that's ever been resurrected.
What?
Is that a thing? I don't know. He just died 3 days later. You're like, I'm back.
Well, there have been stories of people that woke up in the morgue.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, they weren't dead.
Boy, you want to talk about like a...
Dude, can you imagine the creep that... Dude, if you worked in a morgue and somebody woke up, just one person, you could never work in a morgue again, could you?
Well, so when I was in school, we would... You know, when I was trying to do the medical thing before I realized I was too dumb to do it, like you would go and you do different shifts and whatnot. And there are times when you're down in the morgue that the bodies make noises.
Yeah.
No one wakes up, but you have a lot of gases and built up. So sometimes the bodies will twitch, and other times, now I've never seen one twitch, but I've heard plenty of stories, but I have heard the moan, and it's a little like I can definitely see if you're not used to that. That would be a mind F. But someone actually waking up...
Yeah, they just sit up.
Now you're out.
You can't ever work there again.
I read a story about... it was like a funeral procession. I think it was in like Mexico or Guatemala, maybe. And like this, like the grandmother like started like knocking on the inside of the casket. She's like, I'm not dead. Don't take me. Don't bury me.
It's like Monty Python.
That had to be like, because that has to be again a very poor rural place.
I think basically she passed. They thought she did at least. They were gonna do it that day, little family thing, and yeah, she was
not dead yet.
Well, I mean, like back in the day, there was all that distrust. And they would have like bells and stuff, and you know, you could ring from inside. That used to be a much bigger problem. Now with the whole embalming and whatnot, you can't, you know.
Hey,
you can't really.
I'm gonna
do
be
that.
Buried with a bell. I'm going to be cremated with a bell.
Just in case. Your ashes. You're like Wolverine. You come back to life.
Well, the deal with Matthew Perry is that they have been investigating his death. You know, he passed out in a hot tub.
Yeah, he drowned, right?
And, of course, he was on drugs. They said he had... not fentanyl, but...
ketamine, I think.
Ketamine.
Yeah.
A bunch of ketamine in his system. Well, they have now arrested 5 people. And charge them in connection with his death.
Oh, people that were supplying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was on ketamine therapy.
What, ketamine is a therapy? I
yes.
Guess?
Yes. Doctors. Yeah. He was on it for anxiety and depression. And that is a thing.
In, it's one of those things that kind of like, you know, other deals in micro doses, it can be used yeah. for therapy.
Can we just call it what it is? He was on ketamine because it was awesome and he was rich. And so he got a doctor to give him ketamine.
Well, I think it's both things. He was on ketamine infusion therapy for anxiety and depression. But his they said his last therapy was a week and a half before he died. So the ketamine in his system was not the ketamine from his infusion therapy.
Yeah.
So he's got, so that's what set him off of like, okay, wait a minute. Who's giving him ketamine? And they found five people have been arrested, two of them doctors, and one of them was his live-in personal assistant. There was another that a person referred to as the ketamine queen.
There you go.
And the U.S. attorney, Martin Estrada, said the defendants took advantage of Mr. Perry's addiction issues. They knew what they were doing was wrong. Three of the five have reached plea agreements. The two other defendants, the doctors, were indicted today.
So this is the same thing that Michael Jackson had. Again.
Yeah.
He was a junkie. I know that's a rough word, but he was a drug addict. And
he was bad.
And he was bad. And he got doctors and people around him that would prescribe. No offense, dude. He wasn't doing ketamine for depression. He was doing ketamine because it can make you hallucinate and see things. You trip balls on it. There's a reason why it's called Special K. He wasn't, I mean, I no
well,
offense.
There but. Is, he was on ketamine infusion therapy. That is a thing. But
I understand.
He obviously... I mean, these guys wouldn't be charged
exactly
if they weren't doing him wrong. I just think it's interesting that, you know, it's like this whole thing of, well, you're basically a drug dealer.
Yes.
So that's illegal.
Yeah.
But if a guy wants it.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
I mean, where's the irresponsibility line?
Well,
is it just dealing it in the first place?
Well, I mean, look, you're a drug dealer. Do you have a lot of, I mean, I don't think drug dealers have a lot of, like, I don't know, the moral ground. You're a drug dealer. Your whole point
is... No, I'm not saying moral. I'm saying culpability.
Yeah. Look, if you're, we've now learned multiple times now, if you're a drug dealer and your drug kills someone, you can be held responsible. You're giving them an illegal substance. Your ass is cooked. Which is why if you're a drug dealer, you know, be aware. That's one of the hazards of many of being a drug dealer.
Yeah, be aware, Buck.
I don't know. I'm weird on this because while I totally get that the drug dealers should be held responsible, I don't know. I hold the drug addict responsible.
If they're over and over again making the same poor decision and then this finally happens, is it really the person supplying them's fault?
I mean, yeah, I mean, it is the person supplying their fault, but...
But if he doesn't die, is it criminal? I mean...
It is criminal.
And also, if the person supplying him doesn't give it to him, don't they just go get it from somebody else?
Well, I mean, I have a weird thing on drugs because I was all about legalizing all the drugs in Portland. Because I was like, dude, if you want to do drugs, be my guest. Well, it turned out that wasn't the best idea. And I realized that. I was like, you know what? My bad. But at my fundamental core, I do struggle. Like, the reason...
Damn lib.
I know. The reason why, you know, that drugs are worth so much money is because people want them. You know, like I said, the war on drugs is over. The drugs won. People like drugs, whether it's good for them or bad for them. And some people handle them and take drugs like a champion, and other people get all effed up and end up on the street, or they end up dying. And there's part of me that just at my core is more like, well, I mean, when you stick a needle in your arm or you snort a powder up your nose, you understand that you're playing roulette. And I don't just, again, fundamentally at my core, I don't like telling someone what they can and can't do. But they should absolutely understand that there's repercussions to it. And if you die in a hot tub because you were all jacked up on ketamine, whether it was through legitimate therapy, which it wasn't, or that you were getting it off someone shady on the street, ultimately, if we're placing blame, I'm going 20% the drug dealer and 80% the person that was snorting the powder.
So should they be charged?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And honestly, I have a bigger problem with the doctor than I do the drug dealer. If you're some weird dude on the street, like
the ketamine queen,
she's just trying to make money.
There is a
well, yeah, like, give her a break.
There's a
not even saying that, but the doctor who already has made presumably either a practice or ways of making money that aren't doing this. That's disappointing.
Well, and we kind of look the other way at it. That area that I ride through, the homeless, low-income area down there, there's a dude that rolls around in an ice cream truck and plays the little ice cream music. He ain't selling ice cream out of that truck. Like, when he comes rocking up to that area and the people come running out, they're not out there to get the Tutti Frutti pop. But, like, It happens. Everyone knows it's going down, and no one does anything about it. They're like, this guy's doing that. So, I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around, but when you're a medical doctor, when you're an actual MD, and you're writing prescriptions for junkies, like the Conrad to Michael Jackson, or this guy for Perry or whatever, and you're literally giving someone a drug that you know can kill them, and you would never give to someone other than that they're rich, and they're paying you $100,000 a month, I got a much bigger problem with that guy than I do the guy on the street in the ice cream truck that's selling drugs, because he's a scumbag and the people that he's buying are junkies, and that's just kind of that's a supply and demand thing.
Did that Michael Jackson doctor ever go to jail?
Yeah, he went to jail.
Is he still in jail?
I don't know, but I think he got a decent prison sentence.
Yeah, good. All right. No Andrew Nimmick tonight. He's on ketamine. So he won't be here.
I don't know. Maybe he's having a great time. I don't know.
But he is not having a show tonight. If you're tuning in for that, you won't hear it.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing is that if people just didn't want drugs, we wouldn't have a drug trade. You know. But how many, like, what percentage of the population is on drugs? And then we get into a whole other thing of what's legal and what's not. You got a bunch of people on antidepressants and God knows what else and shoving who knows what. And is that any worse or any better than, you know? I mean, God, we used to think marijuana. Remember when you were in school and they would teach you about marijuana? They're like, if you smoke marijuana, it's the gateway to, becoming.
I learned it by watching you.
Exactly. That commercial.
And you're blowing it because you can't stay off the weed.
You know.
So it's not murder, though. Is it murder? Did they murder Matthew Perry?
I think it is. It's manslaughter, negligent something or other. 4 years in prison, by the way, for Dr. Conrad.
Four years,
and he served two, and he's out. He's been out.
Wow. Okay.
Not a doctor anymore. He has medical license.
Do you think it was worth it for him?
Probably not.
Probably got a lot of money.
Got a lot of money, but he's not a doctor anymore, and I would assume it's not worth it, but.
And no one really knows who he is. Probably just go.
Yeah, but I don't know what you do now that you're not a medical doctor.
Live off Michael Jackson's money. I guarantee you that dude got a lot of dough.
Yeah, probably.
And probably stole a lot of dough. Get creative. Steal that guy's money.
You're right. He probably was had his hands deep in those pockets.
All right, we'll wrap it up next on The Fan. All right, great job by me today. Big Sook was pretty good, too.
And do it again.
Buck. But also, I think I'm awesome. Everybody have a wonderful night. No Andrew Nimmick tonight. He's got something else going on. So he's not here. But tomorrow, we're going to have Joey Harrington on the radio.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
I can. He was gone last week. He was ducking us again.
It's going to be exciting. So, tune in.
And some other things, too.
3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
I would have slept with George Bush at that moment. I would have power-bottomed the hell out of him.
Ships of Spain, red ships of Spain.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.